Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Back already, I'm Jack Beaumont, a.k.a. Busby's Backdoor Babe, a.k.a. Pat Butcher's Dodgy Invoice. This week, I'm speaking to a bloke called Guy Toyne, who is a court reporter at the Old Bailey and the director of Court News UK. We spoke about all the weird shit he's seen in the courtroom. He's a top bloke. Have a jingle.
Crime.
Guy, thanks for having me.
Yeah,
we are deep in the, or well, that deep, we're now street level, but we're in the Old Bailey, aren't we?
We are indeed, yeah. Outside Court 18.
Outstanding. And what I should probably let you know that most of the people I'm going to have on this podcast have already had are wrong-uns. So you're different in the fact that, as far as I'm aware, you're an upstanding citizen.
I don't know whether I would describe myself as an upstanding citizen.
But you're not a criminal, a known criminal.
Can't really discuss that with you at this moment in time.
Yeah, fair days. So, but it'd be different for you, because what I want to get out from you is the most nutty, weird, shocking stuff you've witnessed in the courtroom.
One that does stick out is the guy who tried to flush his wife's head down the loo. That was really, really quite bizarre. I think what happened is his wife had been having a sort of dalliance with the guy upstairs in their flat. And they'd had a series of arguments about it. I think the wife actually went on a camping trip to Turkey or somewhere with the bloke. And when she came back, it all sort of got a bit out of hand, and he ended up killing her. And as you know, murder is easy. It's always disposing of the body, which gives us all sorts of difficult problems. And in that case, what he did was he had the body lying on the floor on the base of that other flat and had no idea what to do with it. And so he decided to dismember it and then try and flush it down the loo. It was quite weird, actually, because he was a crane driver, and he was an absolutely reasonable bloke, you know, the sort of guy you'd meet on the street, say hello to, have a beer with. And the way he described what he did in such a matter-of-fact way, I think to a certain extent made it even more shocking.
Well, if he was talking about it so matter-of-factly, then perhaps, despite appearances of being a normal bloke, was he obviously a bit of a sociopath kind of guy?
Well, I suppose you might ask yourself the question, if you are a normal person, do you cut your wife's head off and try and flush it down the shitter?
I'd say no, you're not normal. No. Or particularly, I mean,
it's not something I've been tempted to do recently. But
how big was his shitter, though? Because
it was an ordinary loo. And to start off with, he actually had the full head, and tried to get the full head down the U-bend. Yeah, it's why he thought that would happen, I don't know.
It's difficult one to explain to the plumber as well.
Yeah, then what he said, he was talking about it in a very matter-of-fact way, and he said, you know, first of all, I tried to get the head down, and it wouldn't go. So I pulled it back out, and then, he said, I started smashing the head up with the hammer. And then he started basically trying to force what remained of the skull and the brains down. And he said, and then I can remember him saying, and then that part of it did go. He said, those parts did go. He said, but then the block U-bend blocked up, and all the water started basically coming back all over the floor. So he was at a situation where he had, you know, bits of body and, you know, blood all over his loo floor. It's really, really, that was quite strange, I thought. Quite strange.
And so you witnessed that in the courtroom, right?
Yeah, I heard him give the evidence, yeah. Because I was quite keen to, obviously we knew what he had done before he gave evidence. And I was quite keen to hear his explanation for how it all happened.
Understandably. So, I should have probably gone over this earlier. You are a reporter, right? Or press officer?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we run the agency Central News, which basically the digital arm of Central News is Court News UK, which a lot of people will know from the Twitter feed and the website.
Yeah.
So what we do is we supply all the national all the national newspapers, and we do magazines and obviously people like the BBC as well, with court stories, and we also have our own, as it were, outlet with Court News UK. Some of the ones that do conjure up, you know, some of the strange tales do come out the coroner's courts as well. People do die in quite strange ways. We had a case not so long ago where a guy basically... can we talk about sexual matters?
Absolutely.
Basically, there was a guy who enjoyed masturbating, and he made quite a fine art out of it. And he decided that it was, you know, he might also make use of the vibrator in a certain orifice of the body. I think the problem with it was, I think he got a bit too vigorous. And the vibrator, unfortunately, slipped up so far that he was unable to retrieve it. Now, he was the sort of guy, I think he was, you know, he wasn't the brightest person in the world, and he lived with his mum in this flat. And what the bottom line was, if you pardon the phrase, he was basically too embarrassed to go see a doctor. So what he did was he just lay on the sofa there in some agony for several days. His mum was coming in and out, you know, giving him food and such like. And of course he couldn't even really tell her what happened. And unfortunately the vibrator, I believe, had pierced his internal workings, as it were. And he died of blood poisoning on the sofa.
You know, I suppose the serious case to be made for the remote control vibrator there. Also, if you're going to be into that kind of stuff, be loud and proud. Well, not loud, but be, you know, loud enough to tell someone then that you had a mishap.
Yes.
He died of pride, essentially, I'd say.
Well, yeah, he was too. He basically was too ashamed. Too ashamed, yeah, to call a doctor.
Bless him.
I think if I'd gone on that, got to that point, I think I probably would have called the doctor.
I'd hope so too.
We had another guy basically died with a strange incident with his bottom. A bloke, he was in hospital, and he couldn't find his signet ring. And he got his wife in to visit in hospital, have a look around for it. They were looking under the bed, under the mattress. They couldn't find it. And of course, he had a very, very serious constipation problem, and his gut was expanding sort of almost by the hour. And of course, they did an X-ray on him, and they found that what happened was the signet ring was up the arsehole. And I think by that time, he was so far gone that basically nothing could be done for him. And he actually died because his signet ring was up his bum.
It's funny that you wouldn't put two and two together then. Think, hang on, where's my finger been recently? Up the arse.
Well, the thing is with him, I always think with that case, is basically how did the signet ring get up the bottom? And obviously, one way is he swallowed it, and the other way is perhaps slightly.
I suppose the swallowing might be more explanatory, because how far would you have to shove a cigarette up your arse in order for it to kill you by blocking?
Well, I think it just jammed up. I think, I don't know, I can't remember exactly. If you have a look at Court News UK, you can see these cases on there, because we do have a section on the website called Surreal, where some of the very, very strange cases that we've had over the years are on there. And things like, you know, we had a really great one a few years ago where a solicitor turned up in court pissed and was, you know, kissing the usher and stuff like that. That was hilarious. And those sort of cases, you know. There's another guy, I don't remember, who's basically doing some... He was a bit high on cocaine, and he was doing some shadow boxing in front of an open window. Unfortunately, he got a bit too enthusiastic, and of course, out he went, and they plummeted to his death. And there's many, many, many cases like that on there, which people, you know, court cases as well, of course, that are really, really strange. You know, the pissed up vicar. I remember another case, actually, thinking another one that we have on that Surreal, is that guy talking about bottoms again, and it seems to be a common theme. I do apologise about the guy who shoved the old fire extinguisher up the arsehole.
Which end?
The main. No, he didn't. It wasn't the thick end. It was the actual hose.
Under the he'd come down
to London from, I can't remember, Derbyshire or somewhere to buy a car with his father, and they got really, really pissed, and they were staying at this hotel, and in the middle of the night he decided he was going to go out and masturbate, which he did do. I think he got on his knees in the, he was in the hotel corridor having a tinker's tank, and then felt the need to get the fire extinguisher off the rack, as it were, and stick the slim end up his bottom. I don't think he actually set it off. That might have been a bit painful. He could have killed him, I suppose, or certainly shot him down the corridor anyway. But yeah, that was another.
Do we know if the dad was aware of this or even encouraging it, perhaps?
No, I don't think the father was aware of it. I don't think the father had any idea that what he was doing. And that was a weird one. And of course, we get a few. There's another one on that side. I'm thinking about the old bestiality as well.
Oh yeah.
You know, a guy. I think he tried to have sex with a sheep, and I think the sheep just sort of, you know, ambled off with a bemused expression on his face. And so then I think he tried to get a cow to, give him a bit of a blowjob.
Wow. Well, do you know what his technique was for that?
Well, I don't know. I'd imagine you would need a fairly stout harness for the animal. but I think the cow as well wasn't too keen. And what happened, I seem to remember, was there was a couple who was... He was in a field. There was a couple picnicking nearby. And they watched it all going on. And the police actually turned up and the bloke was still there.
What?
I think he got naked as well. I think he was stark bollock naked.
What? So how much time do you reckon you're looking at for getting a cow to suck your neck?
No, he didn't. He wasn't. Actually, I don't think he was jailed for it. I think he was given like community service. I mean, really, if you basically you're in a situation where you're trying to get a cow to, how can I say, perform oral sex on you, really, I think you need perhaps, you know, pity rather than punishment.
Yeah. But also, the cow needs pity as well. I'd say. But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, beef bestiality. Yeah, I think, you know, I've seen a video of that happening.
I
doubt it was the same geezer.
That used to be illegal.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think...
Or having only a video.
I think those videos are still illegal, aren't they?
Probably a bit of a grey area, because if you're in possession of it on, say, WhatsApp, are you necessarily in possession of it in an illegal sense?
No, not if you view it, but I think to actually... If you download the video, I think it is illegal.
So if someone sends it to you on WhatsApp and you download it?
I think films of bestiality are still classified as obscene material. Mm-hmm. I may be wrong.
I should hope so. Then maybe some fuckers will stop sending me then.
Oh, fucking hell, mate.
There.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and Barry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Bestiality. You're right, that's good. We covered quite a lot of large ground. Bestiality. Arseholes quite extensively.
Yeah.
Murder.
Bottoms, yeah.
What else have you got in the locker?
Well,
variety.
I guess I'm going to do a show about a guy called Peter Wallner. Some of the murder cases, they're interesting in themselves, rather than just, how can I say, the ones that are just absolute shockers, like, you know, the bestiality and the death by vibrator and things like that. There's a guy called Peter Wallner, and they're going to do a National Geographic show about him. He's a guy who was cheating on his wife, and one night I think he wanted to see his mistress, and his wife wasn't so too keen. So being a chef, he decided to kill her with some chefly implements, as it were. And he had the old Le Creuset griddle, you know, the big cast iron thing with the handle on the end. And he battered his wife across the head until she was dead. And then, of course, he actually got his mistress to the house that night. And I think they basically, I don't know whether he'd actually moved the body by then or not, but I think she was in, certainly the body was in one room and they were on the job in the other. And then, of course, when the mistress went home, we still had the problem of disposing of the body. So being a German, being efficient and being a chef, he had to sort of make a combination of those factors to dispose of the body. And he had a chest freezer in his shed, you know, the old-fashioned type. And what he did was he chucked the body in there. And you might say, of course, that there's nothing strange about someone killing their wife and putting the body in a freezer. It's not uncommon. It has happened before, which is absolutely true. But I don't think we've ever had a case where the husband has left the wife's body in the freezer for 3 years. Because that's what he did. The thing is, of course, she obviously had parents, relatives, and they were very interested in knowing what happened to her. And Mr. Wallner told the parents that unfortunately she just basically had some sort of seizure and dropped down dead.
How did he? But then, what about the coroner not getting
involved? This is the absolute point, because basically they were saying, well, you know, wasn't there? He said there was an inquest. I believe he told them there was an inquest, but it was done so quickly that basically, I'm afraid she's already been cremated.
Oh, that's what he said to the parents.
That's what he said to the parents.
Crikey! So he must, and they didn't sniff her.
Well, they did. They weren't very happy with this at all. So what Peter said was, the parents actually, the wife was South African, and he suggested to the parents that they should come over, or the mother anyway, should come over to the UK, and what they could do is pick her out a nice little urn to put the ashes in, and then they would have a ceremony back in South Africa. And that's exactly what happened. The mother came over, and I think they went around various undertakers looking for a suitable urn, and they picked out a nice blue and gold one, which you can still see on the website, Court News UK, folks. Don't forget to check it out. And then Peter and the mother and the family went back to them, had this ceremony in South Africa. And Peter actually gave a speech, and with the urn in front of him. And he said, as he gave the speech, he said, "Do you know something? I never used to believe in God, but now I know. When I met my wife, I found a little bit of heaven on earth." And at this point, he took the wedding ring off and dropped it in the urn. Imagine it. There were ashes in it. But of course, it wasn't his wife's ashes, because she was still in the fridge doing her Ice Maiden impersonation halfway around the world. What he'd done was rake the ashes off his barbecue and put those inside.
Crikey. And so, were you in the courtroom when you witnessed this case?
Well, that basically, the dropping of the wedding ring is really, really interesting. The dropping of the wedding ring came from the mother's statement. And I was in the court when I was in the court where that statement was read. Her statement was read, and I was the only one in there when that was read. And I still find that case endlessly fascinating, and it's something that people do. I mean, people have, as I say,
you and Peter were in there, actually.
What?
And Peter was in there as well.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I was the only member of the press.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't just me. Well, me and Peter, that, and the mother, you know, and no judge and jury. That would be.
This is something I wanted to know. When you're in the courtroom and all these mental things being read out, like that statement you mentioned, yeah. what
what the reactions of the people on trial, and what the reactions of the people in the room, how tense does it get, like the passing of glances between them? Do they look ashamed?
Well, it's quite interesting, actually. I don't know if you see like Jeremy Thorpe show, and they reenacted the bit where Norman Scott's basically talking about having sex with Jeremy Thorpe, and he mentions a jar of Vaseline, and he also mentions biting the pillow. And in the dramatisation, they had all the members of the press laughing. And I'm afraid that would never, ever, ever happen. I think if it had happened, I would think, basically, I think the judge could well ask the press gallery to be cleared, because it's not really appropriate. And you really, really shouldn't laugh or show any reaction whatsoever. Some of these gory details, you have to technically be completely po-faced. Of course, there are times when you can't, when you do laugh.
Yeah, that's what I asked. When was the closest you came to laughing?
Well, yeah, I have laughed. I laughed at one guy's defence was so ridiculous a few years ago. I did basically have a laugh about that. And I think afterwards, I think the clerk actually came downstairs and had to have a little word with me, because I did laugh about that.
Well, I imagine a few people were laughing there.
No, because I was the only member of the press in court. It was just me laughing.
But what, is there a gallery and stuff? There's like, is there not any?
No, I mean, to be quite honest with you, I think that was the court over there, Court 18. And to get into the public gallery there, you actually have to come through the court. So it's not often that you see people in the public gallery in there. So there was no one in the public gallery. There was just the jury and the judge and obviously the barristers and the defendant giving evidence and me laughing.
And I suppose
the prosecutor.
The prosecutor. Yeah. The prosecutor probably rubbing his hands, I'd have thought.
Well, it's a bit of a problem, of course.
Because the defence that you have?
Well, it's the most ridiculous defence I've ever heard. This is one of the things, is that in this building, people, unfortunately, I think there's not a sufficient reduction or punishment for coming out with ridiculous defences. Because we've heard many, many, many absolutely crazy, crazy defences. This one was a guy who basically was caught with a shock standing outside behind a security van as the money was coming out of the van with a shotgun by the flying squad. So he was literally caught red-handed. But what his defence was that basically a couple of weeks before the incident, he'd been given a hold all by a man he knew only as Mr. Eggy. And Mr. Eggy had asked him to look after the hold all. And he, of course, never actually looked into the hold all. That would be unwise. But then, after a few days, or a couple of weeks anyway at least, he decided he'd better try and return the hold all to Mr. Eggy. Again, he had not looked in it. So what he did was, he employed the services of a friend to drive him to a house where he thought Mr. Eggy lived, on the back of a motorcycle. And what happened was, according to the defendant, they stopped outside the house where he thought perhaps Mr. Eggy lived. And it was at this point that he decided for the first time to have a look inside the hold all and see what it contained. And he unzipped it, and lo and behold, it just happened to be a sawn-off shotgun. And would you believe it? At this very moment in time, a security van just happened to stop in front of him, and they just happened to get out with the cash in their hands, as it were. And that was his explanation. This will give you a laugh. The jury cleared him.
What? Yeah. For attempted burglary?
For robbery, yeah.
Why?
They accepted his defence. Could be true. And I think they were angry to see basically a member of the press wetting themselves at the absolutely ridiculous nature of his defence. And I think it was, I'll tell you what, you might think this defence is absolutely ridiculous. We think it's possible. So, good afternoon, and it's a not guilty.
Wow. How confidently was he telling that, about those barefaced, presumably lies?
Well, I think he was, it's astonishing. I think people get to, when by the time they get into court and they're giving evidence, they actually come to believe their own bullshit.
Yeah.
I think they manage to convince themselves, to be quite honest with you. Of course, you might say it's potentially libelous to say that basically this man was was telling lies because he was cleared, and therefore his lies should be, you know, regarded as the truth. Unfortunately, he has made an appearance at this court since then for another robbery, and on this occasion he was convicted.
Mm.
So I think we can quite safely call him a lying tow rag.
Do we know what his excuse was, his defence was for the recent one?
I can't remember.
Grand Club.
The guy, we had a story last week about a nurse who set off the fire alarm at his hospital so that when a particular member of staff with large breasts ran out of the building, he could watch her breast wobble. That one was I think that was retweeted by 8,000 people. And it actually was it caught on in the States. That's why it's got quite a lot of interest.
So hang on, how did that go to court?
It was a nursing and midwifery case at a tribunal.
Right.
It's basically inappropriate behaviour as a nurse.
But what is he set off a fire alarm? Someone's gone, why'd you do that? And he goes,
No, why'd you fucking think?
Because with the big jugs.
Yeah. That's what it is. Because basically, what happened was, I think that the reason that he basically got caught, as it were, was the basis, as the woman was running down the corridor with her breasts akimbo, as it were, basically he was standing there sniggering and sort of, you know, making the gesture of wobbly breasts, like doing sort of, you know, as you can imagine.
I know the gesture very well. Yeah.
Exactly. And so it became apparent that he'd just set the fire alarm off deliberately, because there was no emergency and someone had set the fire alarm off, and it was him. Just to see this woman's breast wobble.
I mean, he needs to take a leaf out of the geezer with the shotguns book in terms of bullshit, because he could easily bullshit his way out of that.
Well, you would think so. You would think so. But he was struck off.
Good.
Yeah, he was struck off. But he did some other things as well. He was a bit of a, you know, he was touching people's bottoms and that sort of thing. So it wasn't just that.
Oh, what a cunt. That was Guy Toyne, shout out to him. This episode was a bit different from usual in that, like I said at the beginning, he's not a criminal, or at least not one willing to talk about his exploits, but he has sat in countless court cases and witnessed some nuts shit, so thanks, Guy. One thing we didn't talk about, but which he is passionate about, is how the decline in the numbers of journalists attending court means that seriously important stories are not being told by local press. Google Guy Toyne Vice article to read his interview with that news outlet. And follow Court News UK on Twitter to see the nut stories published live from UK courts. You can also email crimeclubpodcast@gmail.com to get in touch with me, and tweet @crimeclubpod. Maybe you or someone you know is a particularly sordid individual guilty of some of the crimes Guy reported in this episode, bestiality, to mention one. Or maybe you're just lonely and want to speak to a person equally or even more shit than you. Again, drop us a line, feel free. Thanks to Ed Beaumont for the jingles, as always. In next week's episode, we hear more from the Graffiti Lads. Till then.
It's Grand Club, motherfucker.
GreatBigOwl.com.
The fear.
Fear of missing out. Fear of going out. Fear of flying. Fear of dying. Imposter syndrome. Spiders. Pipes from Ghostwatch. Dolls with buttons for eyes.
We're all scared of something. But what are you scared of? Join me, Sarah Morgan, for The Fear, a podcast about the overlap between comedy and horror.
The secret lemonade drinker adverts. Geese. That time on Biker Grove when Agnew McParling got shot in the face with a paintball.
In each episode, I interview funny, interesting people I like, people like Phil Jupitus, Alice Lowe, Richard Osman, Riley Silverman, and Danielle Ward, about their biggest fears in a judgment-free environment. It is spooktacular.
The Fear.
And remember, do have nightmares because they're an entirely appropriate response to the horrors of modern living.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.